while everybody is getting settled, the scripture today is from Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 through 17. I'm really going to concentrate on 17. It's kind of important. So let us hear the word of God. Now when he heard that John had been arrested, and he withdrew into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. From this time Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." I'm going to date myself a little bit, but y'all might be with me on this. Do you remember the TV documentary called Dallas? Real life documentary. No, it's actual fictional story based in Dallas. But there was one year where the main character, played by Larry Hagman, his name was J.R. Ewing. Are y'all with me or am I? Okay. J.R. got shot. And the question was, for a whole year till the next season came, who shot JR? Because you could probably make a list, if you held it up, it would probably roll out about halfway down the aisle of this church with people who did not like JR. Either he had done them wrong, or they felt like they had done him wrong. He was probably not the nicest man in the world. So we wait this whole season until we find out who shot JR. And you would see the commercials on TV, and he'd leave you questioning, who shot JR? And every one of us had in our own mind who that person was. And we wait and we gather around the TV. I think it was on Friday night or Thursday night. Again, that's a while ago. And we watched. And at the end of the episode, and we found out who shot JR. I don't know about you, but I was sitting there scratching my head and said, yeah, he probably deserved it, but I never thought they would have done it. That was just me. But we waited a whole year, 9 months, to see this new episode. And it was revealed to us. 9 years or 9 months of silence, other than just you wait, just you wait, just you wait. Today's lesson, today's message, today's scripture is based on that just you wait. The Old Testament has been written, has been given to God's people. God's people have listened to it-ish. They've lived how they thought God taught them how to live. But as we read throughout the Old Testament, did they really? Throughout the Old Testament, God says, obey my laws, obey my commandments. I will be with you. I will never forsake you. And what's Israel's answer to that? We'll do it for a while, God, but then we're going to take life on our own terms, and we're going to live the way we want to live, and everything's going to be okay. And God, we're going to kind of put you on the back burner. And when they put God on the back burner, and then life doesn't quite go like they planned, they would scream out to God, 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 help us, help us. And God would send in the case of the judges, send in judges. But after that, God would send prophets. to proclaim to Israel, you're not living right. You're not doing what I command. If you keep this up, you're going to be punished. Well, as we, as fallen men, I'm using that in the whole term, not just man, fallen mankind, if you will, we're doing the same thing now that they did then. But as fallen man, we would live our life and we'd reach out to God when times got hard. Now God told Israel, you're going to be punished if you continue to do this. Israel was captured by the Assyrians and taken away. Judah, the southern kingdom, kind of straightened up their act for a little while. But God kept telling them, you keep messing up, you're going to be punished. And Babylon came in and took them away, and took them away for 70 years. And the prophets still continued to come. Now, as I was reminded today, thanks to Jimmy, that the Jewish Old Testament ends at 2 Chronicles. But our canon, as we look at it, ends with Malachi. Malachi was a prophet. He was what they call one of the minor prophets. But he, in those four chapters in Malachi, he had a lot of message. But the last words that came from Malachi, it's only a few verses, reads like this. This is God speaking. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day is coming, shall see them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the sun of righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall. And you shall tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet. On the day when I act, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and rules that I commanded of him at Horeb for all of Israel. Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with the decree of utter destruction. Last words of God. Remember my covenant. Remember my commands that I gave Moses. I am sending one before this day. I am sending one to come before to proclaim the day of the Lord. This Elijah. I guess from the translation from Greek to Hebrew, and I'm being a little silly here, Elijah became John the Baptist. You translate your names. Well, John the Baptist came, and what was his proclamation? Repent. The Lord is at hand. The first word Israel heard for over 400 years from God through this new Elijah. Repent. Now the promise was come. The Lord has come in Jesus Christ. He has just been baptized by John. He has spent 40 years in the wilderness being tempted by the devil and defeated Satan at every angle that Satan tried to throw at him. And now Jesus comes out for his public ministry. Now we would think, oh, well, this has got to be good. It hadn't been 400 years. We haven't heard from God. this has got to be wonderful news. Repent, repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. Sorry about the echo. I warned Beth. Repent, repent. That message that Jesus gave on his first public proclamation, because Jesus was a preacher before he was a teacher. His first message was repent. Why did Jesus come to earth? To live a life that we couldn't live, to die on the cross, to suffer the wrath, the pain, the agony of sin, though he committed none, so that we can now be joined back with the Father. But his message was repent. Well, there's a lot that goes into repenting. First and foremost, you must recognize your sin. You want to look at the Ten Commandments? That's a great place to start. As Jesus talks about, it is a conversion of the heart. When you accept me as your Lord and Savior and the Holy Spirit moves in, your heart is converted, it is tweaked, you're different. You're no longer the old person that you were. But you're still sinful. You have to recognize your sin. And if you look at the Ten Commandments, how does it start out? I am the Lord your God, who delivered you from slavery out of Egypt. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. All of those Ten Commandments deal with idolatry. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. If you start worshiping something other than me, you're worshiping an idol. Do not create graven images. You're worshiping an idol. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. You're worshiping something other than honoring the Creator, who said, even though I am not tired, I am going to rest on the seventh day to set that example. Honor your mother and your father was set as a way of saying respect and honor the people of authority if they are doing right. If you decide not to respect your parents or your bosses or whatever the circumstance that you're in and they're doing right, you've created an idol. Thou shalt not kill the innocent. For you to take the life of another, you're saying that this image bearer, whatever that person is, whatever that life is, they are an image bearer of God, that we're all created in God's image. If you decide that their life is not that important, you've created an idol. Thou shalt not lie or bear false witness. My representation in the world is more important than the truth. And I'm not going to lie unless it's going to help me. Thou shalt not commit adultery. There's a sacred bond between husband and wife. Go outside of that bond, it's idolatry. Thou shalt not covet. Wanting something that's not yours without you willing to work for it, you've created an idol. So Jesus is coming into the world, again, after he has just finished being tempted by Satan and has defeated Satan, and he knows what's coming for him in 3.5 years. his reply or his declaration to the world, repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. Now, it was closer then than it had ever been, because God was here on earth with his people. They couldn't see it because they were so caught up in themselves. But Jesus says, repent. Are we any different today than Israel was back then? The Israelites. The Israelites looked at the promise of a coming Messiah. He came. Yet where are we at in society today? When I say we, I'm talking about you, and I am talking about me as well. Because this may come as a shock. I am not perfect. But guess what? Neither are you. But where we come as a society today is we look at sin differently. In some cases, we embrace our sin. Oh, it makes us feel so good. How can something that makes us feel good be so bad? We justify our sin. Well, I wouldn't do it if so-and-so hadn't have done that. Yeah, my sin, it's a sin. It's a little sin, but it's a sin. It's not nearly as bad as so-and-so's. Or we even just ignore the sins. Where are we disobedient to God? We all are. Jesus declared, repent. Seek your heart. Find your sin. And in the words of the Puritans, mortify it. Kill your sin. Live for Christ. Live for the new man. Not the old man that was there before Christ came into your life. Jesus set 3 and a half years of his life to show God's will for his people. He demonstrated it greatly when he was on the cross. Dying, though he did not deserve it, but he was on the cross. And the people were jeering and making fun of him. The people he came to save, and they were mocking him. And Jesus' response was not what probably our response would be. Lord, strike them dead. They don't deserve me. He says, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Now, we're in a society now where we know what Christ has done. Christ has came. Christ has died. Christ has been resurrected and now sits in heaven on the right hand of the Father. He's coming back. How do I know that? He said so. God's never lied. He's coming back. But when he comes back, his message will not be repent, repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. His message will be, I'm separating the sheep from the goats. Either you're my children or you're not. It's too late. Seek your hearts. Deny yourself. Mortify your sins. It's the only way we can be brought to God. Jesus built that bridge. that bridge of such a chasm between God and man that nobody could get to God. Yet Jesus, God, Jesus, man, built that bridge so that we can all be with the Lord. But what does it require? Accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Dying of the old man and living for Christ. It's that simple. And I want to say something that's kind of off color, so bear with me, but it's not too bad. But there are many people that sit in churches today and they think, well, I'm in church on Sunday. I'm protected and I'm saved and everything's great. But Monday morning, I'm going to go out and live my life just like I live it every other of the 5 days. But on Sunday, I'm a completely different person. I come into this pew. I give the Lord his hour. No longer the Lord's day. I'm giving the Lord his hour. Then I'm going to go out and I'm going to live my life. Are you honoring your Savior? Are you living the life that God has granted you through the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ? Here's the off-color part. Being on church on Sunday makes you no more Christian than standing in the garage makes you a Ferrari. Your heart's got to change. It's so easy to find other people's flaws while we're burning up in our own sins. The word I give you today are the words of Jesus Christ. Repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, how we do. We praise you and how we fall so short. Lord, be with us and let us be honest with ourselves to confront our sins and to mortify our sins. To enjoy the life you have for us, not the life that this world offers for us. Forgive us, encourage us, and strengthen us, dear Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Let's open our hymn books to hymn number 109. Sing all four stanzas of the hymn, Standing on the Promises. Stand if you